Now, for believers, we know that through many dangers, toils, and snares that we're going to go through, as the hymn writer wrote. But we should be those who are not worrying. We should be those who are not like the world, but yet we are tempted to worry. We are tempted to worry about everything, basically, every day.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a letter from Andrea from Pennsylvania. She says, I thank our God for Pastor Greg's lessons, especially at this time. The Ezekiel series and the absolute truth of the word regarding Israel is greatly helping to tear down the stronghold of apostasy that is permeating pulpits everywhere, causing so much damage to the sheep. I pray daily for Pastor Greg for the ongoing courage, strength, and perseverance it takes to boldly stand and teach the truth. The entire congregation of Equipping Bible Church is on my heart and in my prayers. Thank you very much for the CDs, Zechariah 4:6, Andrea. Well, Andrea, thank you so much for your encouragement. Thank you so much for your prayers for me. It is so encouraging and such a blessing to me to know that listeners are praying for me and for this ministry. And thank you for praying for Equipping Bible Church, the little church that I pastor. We are so thankful for your prayers also. Okay, at this time, as we approach Christmas, a lot of people have a lot of stuff on their hearts and minds, and it is tempting to worry. And so I thought it would be best to share a passage I preached at Equipping Bible Church just a few months ago from Matthew chapter 6, and it's concerning worry. So let's turn together to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse 25.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
You think about this life and you think about every little circumstance that we go through, there is much to worry about. There's much to be concerned about. There are so many circumstances and so many variables, so many unknowns. And this life is not constant. Things happen, like our failure back there. Things happen. There are so many things that we have absolutely no control over. And so certainly the unbelieving world has much to worry about because, as you know, we can't control life. And we can't control circumstances. And the unbelieving world has ways to try to get around worry and anxiety, whether it's denial or whether it's medication or drugs or alcohol, whatever it is. But the reality is that just postpones it. The reality is that when one is not trusting Christ, as we'll see today, there is no peace. Now, for believers, we know that through many dangers, toils and snares that we're going to go through, as the hymn writer wrote. But we should be those who are not worrying. We should be those who are not like the world, but yet we are tempted to worry. We are tempted to worry about everything, basically, every day. So with that in mind, with that temptation, with the world, with Satan who offers his tantalizing solutions, which don't fix the problem, what are we to do about worry and anxiety? Well, what does the scripture say? What does the scripture say about it? Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verses 25 to 34. Now, just taking a slight break from our Ezekiel series, we'll come back to that, Lord willing, next week. And as we come to Matthew, we know that this portion is a portion which we call the Sermon on the Mount from chapters 5 to 7. The Sermon on the Mount is the teaching on the Mount where the Lord Jesus reveals kingdom righteousness. It's presented by him, the king, which confronts phony righteousness, which is really lawlessness. Okay? And indeed, the Lord Jesus had been unveiling the phony righteousness of the Pharisees and those Jews who were living in spiritual darkness also. Now with that, Jesus had pointed out what true believers look like, those who are blessed. He pointed out the characteristics of those who had a right relationship with him, and how they relate to the world and how they relate to his word. And indeed, Jesus painted a picture of those who are truly saved, which would confront the phony hypocrisy of those who claim to be saved who are not. Then Jesus, in this teaching on the Mount, gave six corrections to Jewish misconceptions concerning his word. You have heard it said, but I say to you. He gave those. And he unveiled the hearts of those who thought they were saved again, the wicked hearts. Then in chapter 6, Jesus moved from unveiling the wicked heart motives of the unsaved Jews to shifting to the outward religious actions that revealed their heart motives, which revealed that inward hypocrisy. And then from that point, Jesus moved to address one's relationship with material things. Indeed, in the preceding passage, which we'll look at just for a tiny bit, Jesus continued to unravel the religious hypocrisy by pointing out that the location of our treasure reveals where our heart's at. What we treasure reveals where our hearts are at. And so from this point, moving from the treasure test, in a sense, we come to another portion which reveals our heart condition also. So would you turn your Bibles to Matthew 6, and we're going to look at verses 25 to 34. And we're going to see that our heart's focus, what we focus on, reveals where our hearts are at. Okay, let's read through the passage, Matthew 6, 24. Now, I'm going to actually go back a verse because it connects. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold on to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. For this reason, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body, as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, nor do they gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Okay. Each day has a little trouble. There's so many things to be anxious about, so many things that could go wrong, so many things that do go wrong. And how are we as believers to respond? And I believe Jesus is going to reveal that the way we respond to certain circumstances and situations in our life, the things that we need, where our focus is, reveals where our heart is at. So how can we overcome worry? Are you a worry wart? Are you anxious? Is your stomach tied up in knots? Do the things of this world drag you and drag your heart around? Well, notice, first of all, we need to realize that anxiety reveals a divided heart. It reveals a divided heart, one that is focused on the temporal. Notice verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That term mammon means money. And he says, for this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, as to what you shall eat and what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So now with this in mind, before we get into the text proper in a sense, we need to look at a few things and understand the nature of worry as we come to it. This word translated anxious here in verse 25, merimnao, actually comes from the Greek word marazo, which speaks of dividing into parts. It speaks of going different directions. And you think about it, when you're anxious, you got all kinds of things going on. You're split, your attention, it's going all sorts of ways. And in scripture, it is translated anxious, But it's also translated care or concerned and then worry. Now, the context here is that there is a biblical care. There's a biblical concern where things happen and we can be concerned. The Apostle Paul stated that there was no one other than Timothy who would be genuinely concerned, that's that word anxious, but in a positive sense, about him and the word. And then we see that it's clearly related to biblical care and a concern for the sheep. But here, when it's translated anxious or worry, we see it as a negative thing that is not something that we are to be doing, as we'll say. But yet we are all tempted. Throughout the day, throughout the week, we're tempted. Now, we're going to see that worry, as we are told to do not be anxious, God's commanding us, by the way, and we'll see that later on, that when we don't obey his command, that we're actually disobeying, right? Now, we may be trapped in it, and we may not, I can't help it, right? And we'll talk about that. But the reality is we need to recognize if God has said, do not do something, then when we do that, we're actually sinning. Now, we're going to see that God is a gracious God who will help us with everything and does help us. But we're also going to see that this sin of worry is a destructive sin. It's the most destructive sin when it comes to your relationship with the Lord, by the way, because at its root, at its core, we'll see is faith. And you see, like the writer of Hebrews says, he talks about the sin of unbelief that so easily entangles us. It exerts tight grip over us. So, again, this is something that we need to understand where to go when we're tempted, where to go when we start to fall, what to do instead so that we do not fall in the context of our relationship with the Lord, fall into entanglement and sin, just like the world. Now, when worry is present, faith is not. And when faith is present, we're not entangled. We're set free. But you say, that sounds really great. You talk about faith, but what are you talking about? How does this work in real time when I'm actually concerned about something, when I'm actually got something on my heart that I can't get off my heart? Well, again, God is a gracious God. He is a kind God. He is a merciful God. And he is good, and he looks out for our best interests. And he loves us. And here, as we're going to see, we have a command from a father as to a son. Do not be anxious. We're not to be anxious. And if you've been caught up in sin and worry, it's gripped your life and you're a believer, God wants to set you free. He has not given up on you. He loves you. And we're continually tempted. New circumstances come. We're tempted every day. So if you're caught up in this sin, don't let this passage leave you with a guilt trip, but instead be corrected, instructed, and changed. So back to our passage. Notice Jesus commands us not to be anxious for the basic needs of this life. Verse 25, for this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Notice our passage begins with the phrase, for this reason. Well, that's the question, well, what reason? For this reason. Why for this reason are we not to be anxious? Well, notice what he says here back in the verse before. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will hold to one, despise the other. You cannot serve God, and we can't have a divided heart. You can't. You're either going to do one or the other. So for this reason, because when you focus on one thing rather than the Lord, you're going to be divided. For this reason, he says here, do not be anxious for your life, because if you are, you're going to be like the one who focuses on money. Now, by the way, money can take care of the things that a lot of people are anxious about. Food and shelter. Hey, guess what? A few bucks will take care of that, right? Food and clothing. So people, you might be serving one master, the master of money. And you may think things are fine, but they're not. The Lord made it very clear here that you can't serve two masters. If you are serving the master of money, then you're not serving the Lord. So he says here, on the heels of that, since no man can serve God and money at the same time, you can't have money and trust in that and trust in the Lord at the same time. You can't do both. You trust in one or the other, right? He says, for this reason, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, because you can't serve God and money. Don't be anxious for your life. As to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body, as to what you shall put on. So here, what he is saying, obviously, is that anxiety exposes a divided heart. A divided heart. Just like if you're trying to serve God in heaven. A divided heart. It exposes that. So the first reason that we're not to be anxious is because anxiety divides our focus. It calls us to turn our eyes off of God and His provision and onto those things that we think might resolve the difficulties or not even. So next time you're anxious, first thing I would say is remember you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve two masters. You're either going to serve the Lord or you're going to be the slave to your sin. Okay? Anxiety reveals a divided heart. For this reason, that is, you cannot serve two masters. I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for the body as to what you shall put on. And notice here, we see anxiety often reveals a temporal focus. Yet this life is more than just food and clothing. This life is more than food and clothing. And that's what he says in the end of verse 25. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He gives us this rhetorical question in which the answer is yes for the believer, right? Yes for the believer. It's much more than that. See, for the true believer, this life does not consist merely of the physical sphere, like for those who don't know Christ. The reality is our relationship is tied up with the living God, which goes way beyond this life and the physical. Turn to Luke chapter 12, and we have the Lord sharing this basic same thing, but in a different context. Luke chapter 12. You see, we think that's the stuff of this life that is important, but it's not. That isn't life. Life does not consist for a believer of just the stuff. Not at all. Actually, if it does for you, then something's wrong. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And he said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. Life is not your stuff. Life is not food. Life is not clothing. Life is not your possessions. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a certain rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And he said to the disciples, for this reason I say to you, notice this, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. For life is more than food and the body more than clothing. The reality is true life for a believer does not consist of our physical possessions, especially food and clothing on the bare minimums. True life is centered around a relationship with the living God. We see the living God is so gracious. He is the very word of life, the bread of life. True life is centered around a relationship with Jesus Christ. 1 John 1, verse 1, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have beheld with our hands and handled concerning the word of life. It's Jesus Christ. John 6, 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you, you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that all that he has given me I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. The Lord Jesus, in his prayer to the Father in John 17, said, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. Life is about a relationship with the living God. It is much more than just the stuff that we put on in the morning and the things we put in our mouths during the day. It's much more than that. That's not life. We've been given everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him. For the true believer, life is much more than the physical sphere. It's much more than clothing and possessions. True life is centered around a relationship with the living God through Christ, who is our life. Turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not the things of earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. When Christ, who is our life, He's our life. What about Galatians 2:20? Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. True life is much more than the physical sphere. So we must realize we're not to be anxious about the things of this life, of this earthly life. Jesus says, for this reason, I say, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor for your body as what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Yes, it is. So first of all, we're not to be anxious because anxiety reveals a focus on the temporal. Those things which are passing. Those things which are not life. Focus on the temporal. But you say, okay, I'm not to be anxious about food and clothing. Okay, I get that. But what about my job? What about my health? What about my family situation? What about my car? Well, Jesus is not giving us a pass in this statement to say you can worry about everything else. We see in Philippians chapter 4 that we are to be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We're not to be anxious about anything. So let me ask you this. Who do you serve each day in your heart and mind? Do you serve Christ by trusting in Him and obeying Him? Or do you serve the cruel taskmaster of worry? And it's a cruel taskmaster, by the way. You cannot serve two masters. When you're worrying, you're not serving God, not serving Him. You're serving sin. And we all know it. We're all tempted. We all fail. But the Lord wants us to learn. So first of all, we need to remember we're not to be anxious. He's commanded us to do so. But also, it reveals a divided heart.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, ridding our hearts of worry is really an ongoing process for us, isn't it?
You know, Dave, it really is. And like other aspects of our sanctification, which, by the way, is just a big word for becoming like Christ, overcoming worry is a daily battle. Now, as you grow in your walk with Christ, you're going to find that worry has less and less of a grip on your heart as you trust the Lord. You know, He is so faithful to deliver us from sin. Yet we know we're not going to be fully rid of anxiety until we're with Him. But the Lord is faithful. Don't give worry a foothold. Don't allow it to settle in. Go to Christ. Trust Him to deliver you from temptation. And if you've yielded, confess and be set free in the context of prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And then allow the Word to bathe your heart and mind. Now, I would encourage you to take these verses that we've looked at today and just absorb your heart and mind in them, and then ask the Lord to give you the power to overcome those things that are drawing your heart and mind away from trusting Christ. He is faithful. You can overcome worry as you trust and obey the Lord. He is a gracious and good God, and He will help you.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.